time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is the 23rd, and the 49ers are back at practice. We've got practice reports. We've got injuries already, day one, at a position, stacking injuries. It's kind of what the 49ers do. We're going to talk about that. We have some roster developments just with who's going with the first team to overcome some of these injured positions, updates, practice reports. Man, we've got press conference stuff going on. We are back in full swing, baby, and I absolutely love it. Shout out to my man, Philip K, and all the hashtag CC. So 49ers go back with their very first practice. And wish it was all positive, wish it was all roses. Probably the number one negative takeaway, which I don't like starting with negatives, Jacob Cowing injured his hamstring on routes on air. Not good. That means not one, not two, but three wide receivers are about to be out, with Ricky Pearsall also dealing with the hamstring. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk. But yeah, you know, Kyle Shanahan talked about, we're going to have to see just how severe it is. But Jacob Cowing is one of the guys that you were counting on being a starter. Especially early with Brandon Ayuk out and the possible DeMarcus Robinson suspension happening early. It's so damn frustrating that hamstrings can be like, you can avoid hamstrings. If you like, hamstring injuries happen, and usually to speed guys, which, you know, your wide receiver position gets them more than anything, but man, it's hydration, it's preparation, it's stretching. And it's just not overdoing it. And you pull the hamstring on routes on air, 100% avoidable. I know a lot of people will disagree with me on that, but I'm sorry. As a coach, this was something that we would harp on. Like, there are injuries that you can avoid. And cramps and hamstrings 100% fall into that category. And this 49ers team just can't get the hell out of their own way. It's the first damn practice, and you got three wide receivers down. Now, I understand the Ayuk injury is different. That was a major, you know, major knee injury during the season, you know, contact, whatever. But the hamstring issues for Pearsall and Cowing, that's bullshit. I'm sorry. Like, and I feel like Kyle, you know, he's not going to throw anybody under the bus or anything like that. But dude, I'm losing my cool on those guys in one-on-one meetings. Like, that shit's selfish. I'm sorry. It just is. Like, on routes on air, like, day one, I know you worked out all hard, and Kyle Shanahan even said Jacob Cowing had probably the best OTAs in offseason. That don't matter. Best ability, availability, and you can't make it through routes on air? Oh, man, sorry. A little upset about that. Because, like, this is a player that you're counting on to start. Week one, you have Seattle. On the road in Seattle, how many wide receivers are we even going to have available? Like, it's getting embarrassing. Injuries are one thing, and football is 100% injury sport because of the contact and all those things. These non-contact injuries, you're stacking them at the same damn position. I'm a little hot on that. Now, there's a lot of positives, and we're going to focus on those. And man, it's good to have a solo show. It's been a while since I've done the solo show. It's been fun recording with everybody in the offseason and doing all that. But, man, we're getting back to it. And you guys are going to be mad at me. I do have to go out of town this weekend, something I couldn't avoid. But I'm bringing all my stuff. I'm going to try to go live on the road. But anyway, Thomas, he says, our wideout room is fixing to be called the medical ward. Yeah, it's just bad, bad, bad. And you just signed Equanimee St. Brown. And Shanahan talked yesterday about how you've got to have 12 wide receivers to practice. And so, like, we want 12, but with PUP in NFI, you don't get those roster spots back. So if you have a 90-man roster, right? Well, Ricky Pearsall can't go. Brandon Ayuk can't go. you don't get two extra guys to sign. Like, they count against your 90-man. The only time the PUP or NFI don't count against roster is after the initial 53-man cut, but we're not there yet. So they bring in Equanimeous St. Brown. That gets them to 10, but now you're back down to 9. And Shanahan highlighted, like, man, whenever you have 10 or less, everybody's taking way more snaps than they should, and that's where you get more injuries. Routes on air, that ain't got nothing to do with it, though. That's come on, Cowie. Come on, man. You can't do that shit right now. Can't do it. Monkey Boy says, come on, Nair. Take this opportunity to step up. Now, and that is, from a coaching standpoint, you don't harp on in front of the team or the press or whatever. Yeah, we've got a lot of injuries. But from a coaching standpoint, it's who's next? Next man up. Who wants this job? There is a starting wide receiver job available. Literally, the top three wide receivers, or top three out of four, are all injured. Juwan Jennings, he's out there, and he reported to camp. That's probably the number one positive. He's practicing. He's doing everything. Shout out to Juwan Jennings, stud, putting team first. And it's kind of in his best interest as well to go out there and ball out this year, get that huge contract. But that's good. Brandon Ayuk, Riggy Pearsall, Jacob Cowan. Three of your top four. And if you want to go further than that, DeMarcus Robinson going to be suspended probably early. That's four out of your top five wide receivers right now. Now, it does look like Riggy Pearsall, who was running on the side, looks, I mean, he was booking it. So if the hamstring issue, like he had, Shanahan even said he's reached some top, you know, miles per hour on the GPS tracker during his workouts. They think that he's ready, all those things. Look at Phillip. He says, at this rate, we're going to bring back Dante Pettis, the kitty cat. I freaking love it, man. Oh, that is hilarious. Yeah. We don't want that. Thomas, change something. Pilates, yoga, something got to go. Yeah, you got to change something. What's up, David, man? Appreciate this. Look, we got Josh. David says, what happened? I'm off Twitter. I miss everything. So big news is Jacob Cowing tweaked his hamstring. Kyle said pulled. You're really hoping it's not a pull. It's a tweak, something like that. But we'll have to see. If it's a pull, you're talking 2 to 3 months. If it's a tweak, that's a different thing. But you got to wait. You got to do the MRI. You got to do the muscle imagery. You got to figure all that stuff out. But yeah, if that's a pull, and he can't go on PUP either. So if you don't start practice on PUP, the very first training camp practice, which Jacob Cowing didn't, he made it about 5 minutes into practice. He can't go on PUP now. All he can do is go on IR. So like, if you're going to keep Jacob Cowing for this year, he has to count against your 53, or at least now you have two IR guys that you could designate before the 53, but that counts as one of your 8 coming off. Like, this is where you're getting a dangerous territory whenever it comes to roster numbers for the wide receiver position already. And again, the good news, Juwan Jennings is a practice, no hold in. He's out there doing his thing. And then on top of that, Riggy Pearsall looks like he's about to be back. And so, like, man, you've got to get those guys out there at practice. You've got to get those guys kind of going, because you just don't have the reps. Brock needs to work on some of that stuff. And yeah, right here, they must really believe in their rookies to bring home a chip. Yeah, it's a lot, man. That's a big ask. And JM, easily bottom three wide receiver room. Well, yeah, with four out of your top five out. Yeah, it's god awful. I would argue with everybody, if everybody was healthy, Ayuk, no DeMarcus Robinson, suspension, Pearsall, I'd say you're probably like a 12 to 16 wide receiver room. Like, you're not a top tier unit, even if Ayuk is healthy, in my opinion. I don't think you are. Now, if Riggy Pearsall takes a huge step up, if Juwan Jennings is playing at the capability that he was last year, maybe you're a fringe top 10 wide receiver group. But you have to understand, the 49ers, what makes the 49ers special and the Shanahan scheme special isn't wide receiver play. It's tight end, running back, offensive line, quarterback, all those things. So the 49ers literally run the fewest wide receiver sets in the NFL. They didn't last year, but if you look at the entire Shanahan 9-year scheme, that is true. But yeah, it's not a strong wide receiver room, especially with the injuries. It's awful. I'd say the 49ers, with what they practice with today, is a bottom five unit. Probably lower. Probably bottom three. And I know some people are going to hear that and be like, what? But yeah, like, if you're starting, Juwan Jennings is your one, which he should be a slot, but that's okay. Like, he proved he can play up. Who's your number two guy? DeMarcus Robinson, but he's going to be suspended. So, like, you have to understand, golly, man, Isaiah Hodgins, Jordan Watkins, like, that's not a good receiver core by any stretch. So can you patch that together to overcome the early thing? And remember, week one at Seattle, division game, you ain't got time to get better. You got to hit the ground running. And the very first play of team, which I think will highlight this, you have to make up for that lack of wide receiver potential elsewhere. Well, first play of the team today, huge deep pass on the corner route to George Kittle for, you know, 30-plus yards. So George Kittle has to ascend and be one of those guys. Kyle Juszczyk has to become available in the pass game. Christian McCaffrey has to be out there, but Christian McCaffrey didn't take part in team drills, neither did Trent Williams. Those are huge as well. So that kind of matters. That matters. What's up, RTP? Appreciate you guys. Glad everybody's here. This is what's up. what's up, man? Can't wait. Seattle. Speaking of Seattle, dude, I cannot wait till week one and just having a great freaking time up there. And for those of you who don't know, Seattle Niners faithful, that chapter is just freaking off the charts. We're going to be partying with them up in Seattle with Frank Gore. Like, how cool is that? Like, dream come true. If you want to come party with us and Frank Gore up in Seattle in enemy territory and the Seattle Niners faithful chapter, man, come on, say what's up. We're going to be out there. We'll run the ad later, but I see Alex in the chat and I just get very, very happy. Appreciate you, man. What's up, JP? He's another Seattle guy. I love it. Chris, I hate the idea of paying money for another wide receiver, but at what point do we bite the bullet and bring in a veteran off the street? You got $40 million cap space. And, you know, Keenan Allen and his agent put out a press release today that a lot of teams have reached out to him, but he's wanting to wait and see how training camp goes for these teams to see what the long-term role would be. And again, I've talked about this, and you could fill this, Blake, with Amari Cooper or whatever, any veteran wide receiver that is worth their salt. It has to make sense for the 49ers, and it has to make sense for the player. If I'm a player coming to the 49ers to play wide receiver, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, whomever, here's my first question. What happens when Ayuk comes back and DeMarcus Robinson's no longer suspended? What's that wide receiver rotation going to look like? Because your top three guys, like, and Ricky Pearsall is healthy, like, am I just going to be a backup? Well, we're going to go with whoever's best at the time. I'm good. Again, you got to remember, Amari Cooper's got like $150 million career earned. I'm good. I ain't coming back to sit on the sideline come week 10. No. Like, if I'm a guy, I'm a guy. So let's wait and see how it plays out. Chris, I'm all for bringing somebody in. But, man, yeah, Josh says Russell Gage is the guy. I like Isaiah Hodgins a little bit more. But, yeah, I do like the two veteran wide receivers you have. But none of that strikes fear. That's like a Chris Conley. Going to get the job done, can run the routes, will be where you want him to be, but there is just no extra sauce. There's no flavor. There's no pizzazz. There's no anything with those guys. It's no fault of their own. It's just, man. Russell Gage, sneaky guy to make the roster. And even if those two veterans don't make the roster, that Shanahan gentleman's agreement where, hey, we're going to cut you, but we're going to bring you back on the practice squad and promise to elevate you week one, right? Willie Snead, you did it. Chris Conley, you did it. Yeah, you did it with Trent Taylor. Like, this has been a staple. Hey, we're going to cut you, but we're going to bring you back and we promise to elevate you week one, right? That's the idea. The 49er says Nayer should be in the rotation. He's in the rotation, but... man, Shanahan trusting a rookie week one, an undrafted free agent rookie week one at wide receiver against Seattle. It's just like, man, we're stacking the degrees of difficulty. It'd be different if you're playing the Patriots. Not that the Patriots are bad, but that's a, you know, cross conference game, non-division, non-conference. Like, that's different than at Seattle, right? Remember, you went 1-5 in the division. You want to buck last year's 2024 performance. You need consistency out there. And Shanahan just does not trust rookie wide receivers. He doesn't do it. So you're going to do it with not only an undrafted free agent, Nayer, but a guy that couldn't even start college at Texas, at Nebraska most of his career. Like, I like Nayer, but I think he's a long-term development play. Yeah, Keenan Allen's still available. Yeah, Jacob Cowan got hurt during routes on air. Like, oh, I'm losing my mind. In that locker room, I am losing my mind on that locker room. Routes on air? It's like that Jim Carrey Dumb and Dumber moment. We got no jobs. We got no food. Our pets' heads are falling off. Like, it's that level anger. Like, did you not see how short we are at wide receiver? We're signing Equanimeous St. Brown. We just signed him. We were short with him. Now we're, oh my gosh. If Jacob, I am proud. I'm kind of proud of Shanahan because he paid compliments to Jacob Cowing first before he brought up the injury. Nobody knew about the injury. I wish somebody would have saw that at camp practice, but like nobody knew about it until Shanahan told the post practice. And they're like, yeah, Jacob Cowing had the best, you know, OTAs, mini camp, off season, but he pulled his hamstring on routes on air. Like, I was kind of proud of Shanahan for not just being like, because he has not held back his criticism of Jacob Cowing for the past year since he drafted him. There's going to be more injuries. And shoot, you look at the Miami Dolphins, they're one of their starting corners tore their ACL day one. Like, this is the NFL. It's just, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But this is going to be kind of the way things go. The hope is injuries are going to, there's more injuries coming, ladies and gentlemen. Like, make no mistake, you're going to have probably 4 to 5 more injuries in training camp before you get to the week one preseason game, maybe more. The hope is you don't stack injuries at the same positions, right? You remember that 1 year where we lost 4 running backs before we even got to our first preseason game? Like, that was catastrophic. Well, how many wide receivers are we down? And plus, we're signing suspended free agent wide receivers. So that's the problem, is whenever you stack these, that's where it hurts. And so that is the major problem. It's not like the 49ers are a major injury-riddled team currently, but when you got 4 wide receivers down already on the first day of practice, yikes. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, right here. Run heavy play action weeks 1 through 4. 1,000%. 1,000%. Yeah, I do like that. Thomas, I wonder if Shanahan is going to have CMC Grindo motion out of the backfield till the fellas are all ready. I hope so. I really do. And I've been, you know, I want Grindo to be the running back and use CMC in that slot, Debo role, whatever. But if you look at today, you know, Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams were out there at practice. They didn't do team drills. They did not do team drills. So Isaac Grindo took starting team reps with the ones. That's huge. Grindo's somebody that missed all of training camp last year. Like, I was going back through my notes, counting how many practices Ricky Pearsall made through last year. Training camp, 4 was the answer. He made through 4 practices out of like 23 or 4. Like, dude made none. Isaac Grindo made less than that. So the fact that Grindo is healthy now, he's never made it through the past, I think, 7 seasons without an injury and missing games and whatever else. Mostly hamstring, lower body stuff, and he got hurt week 17. Like, he just always hurt. But the fact that he is healthy now and getting first team reps is gigantic for Isaac Grindo, because that dude needs reps. He's got to get those reps, and he's getting them with the ones. So, man, stay healthy, Isaac. We need you this year. And yeah, you're hoping Christian McCaffrey is back to 2023, Christian McCaffrey. But if not, Isaac Grindo's getting playing time, period. 7 out of 8 years since Shanahan's been here so far, the number 3 running back has gotten substantial playing time starts. So the number 2 every single year. And I know Shanahan just wants to pound CMC and get him all those reps and pass games and, you know, 30 plus touches a game. But come on, let's be honest with this point at CMC where he's at. You need to mitigate a little bit of the usage. And I do like that. Shoot, practice 1, CMC, you're going to do individual drills only. Trent Williams, individual drills only. We're going to work into all those things. So Isaac Grindo being healthy is gigantic for this team. Other notable starters, Nick Sakell got to start with the first team at left guard, which I've been saying nonstop that would be the case. I know a lot of people want Connor Colby to win that job eventually. This team, Chris Forrester, Kyle Shanahan, love Nick Sakell. Love Nick Sakell. The pass protection, that's kind of his staple, and I would argue probably the best pass-protecting left guard the 49ers have on the roster. Can he do enough in the run game that, you know, again, what 49ers value run game, run productivity over everything. But Nick Sakel getting that start while Ben Bartsch is out, that's not a surprise to me. Spencer Burford got the start at left tackle for Trent. And again, not a surprise. A lot of people were saying Spencer would move inside to guard. And Shanahan even alluded, like, hey, he could play guard, but left tackle and Trent's replacement at left tackle is a big deal. You've got a lot of guys fighting for guard. Matt Hennessy could play there. Connor Colby, you drafted, could play there. Nick Sakel could play there. Even Drew Moss, the undrafted free agent, could play there. Like, you have guys that can play guard. You don't have any other left tackles right now. None. Austin Pleasance, I guess you could put over there, but he's playing predominantly right tackle with the twos. So, yeah, you're getting kind of this, you know what I mean? Like, you're starting to figure out where these roles are and where they see different players slotting. And this isn't going to be the starting, you know, unit or whatever, but I do think it's important just noticing how these things are panning out in the rotations early on. Nick Sakel at left guard, Spencer Burford at left tackle. And so keep in mind with these things, they're telling you what they want to happen. They're telling you who they want to win the job, who they trust the most. Yeah, like everybody wants Dominique Pooney to be Connor Cole or Connor Colbert to be Dominique Pooney and step in and win that job, but man, he's got to pass Nick Sakel, and Ben Bartsch is coming back at some point soon. So, like, he's not even going to be a second team. He's going to be a third team / fourth teamer. What's that look like? Those are the things that he's got to kind of figure out. Yeah, I'm behind in the chat. I'm behind, man. appreciate you guys. Nate, what's up, man? Yo, John, I haven't caught a live since last season, but loving the countdown and everything you do. Thank you. Yeah, that roster countdown is a chore and a half, but every year at this point, I just recorded number 26, and so I have those scheduled to go out in the next couple days, you know, all the way up through I get back, but like every time I'm at this point, I'm like, dude, I'm never doing this roster countdown again. We did 91 episodes, man. It is a killer. I love it, but man, it is a chore, but thank you. I appreciate that, Nate, and welcome back. Captain Insano, good to see you, man. We ever getting these rivalry jerseys? Dude, the Niners are weird. Like, they teased it 2 months ago, did nothing. All the other teams are putting their stuff out. I don't know. It's weird. The 49ers, Justin Ross is available. Why not give him a look? I said that on the Me and Larry show 2 weeks ago. I like Justin Ross. I would love to bring him in. He was not one of the five wide receivers that the 49ers, you know, you look at who the 49ers gave a tryout to: Equanimeous St. Brown, who they signed, Quintez Cephas, Grant DuBose, Ramel Keaton, Stanley Morgan, and Brandon Powell. So, yeah, I mean, maybe you bring in one of those five you just had a tryout, because you need somebody at practice tomorrow. You need somebody tomorrow. But if you sign one of these guys, whether it's Justin Ross, you have to cut somebody. Who are you going to cut? You're going to cut one of the undrafted free agents? Like, you're not going to cut a wide receiver because you need those. No, like, who's getting cut? You're going to take away from another position after one day of practice just because a guy's not ready to freaking make it through routes on air? I'm really mad at Jacob Cowing right now, man. I'm really mad. Josh, Jordan James coming for that running back two spot sooner rather than later. I do agree with this take. I do think when the season is over, or going into next season, I think Jordan James will be the running back too. I do believe that, over Jacob Cowing. Not that I think Jacob Cowing will be bad. I just don't. I value consistency over explosiveness. This is my coaching philosophy, my life philosophy, whatever you want to say, my scouting philosophy. Don't care. I want people I could trust. And if you could have a 70-yard run, but fumble the ball all the time and you run in the back of your own guys, like as a running back, that's a no for me. Like, I would much rather have 5 and 6 yard gains than 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, 20 yards. Might average out the same. Don't care about that. I want consistency. I want moving forward. I want efficiency. That's just my own thing. And I think Josh probably agrees with me. Like Tony Gwynn, right? I'm going to talk about Tony Gwynn all the time. Like, dude, just keep it going. Just like always positive. Yeah, interceptions today, Logan. You had Pinnock, I believe, and D Winters picked off Brock Purdy as well. So if D Winters is going to win this role, like, you're talking about that linebacker two spot. D Winters is his ace card is pass coverage. And so getting a pickoff against the ones, against Brock Purdy today, that's huge. Nick Martin, his ace card is run support tackling. So you're kind of like, do you count that twice? What's that look like for D Winters? Well, you already knew he was the better pass guy. But it matters. That stuff matters. It really, really does. Josh, Chris Forster doesn't allow competitions. He does not. He really doesn't like that. Let's see here. Let's keep going. I'm loving all these chats, man. You guys are freaking awesome. Let CMC focus on route running out of the backfield and screens. I love that. I love that. And yeah, Grendo and James take the majority of the run game load this year, especially early. Once you start getting, you know, some of these wide receivers back and you could do three wide receivers with ease, sure, no problem. But I expect a lot of 21 and 12 personnel early. The 49ers got away from this last year because, one, you didn't have enough running backs that were healthy. Two, you didn't have a tight end two worth a damn. Well, you brought in Luke Farrell. That changes everything. And now you have more running. I don't know if you have more running back depth, but if Christian McCaffrey's healthy, if Isaac Grendo's healthy, if Jordan James is healthy, like that's a pretty solid 1-2-3. It's hard to trust the rookie out there early, but man, running back rookies could play. Wide receiver, different. Tight end, different. There's a degree of difficulty amongst positions in transitioning from college to the NFL. Running back's the easiest. Defensive line, easy. Those are simple. You know, you get degree of difficulty. Number one is tight end. Number two is probably quarterback, or you want to put those in that most difficult tier. They're up there. Tight end and quarterback are, and like, this is the way with it, coaching as well. Like, I don't want to say this. I'm going to say it. Like, whenever people are like, oh, running back coach is going to become offensive coordinator, I'm like, bro, no. Or defensive line coach is going to become defensive coordinator, I'm like, no. It happens, and there are some successful ones that do that, but you don't understand the nuance of half of the game that you're going through. If you're a D-line coach, you don't know crap about coverages and, you know, all the, like, you don't deal with that stuff. You're running back coach, you focus on one guy. One guy. Now, the quarterback is focused on one guy as well, but you've got to know everything. And that's why, like, I would always talk to coaches and stuff. Like, dude, if you want to be a play caller one day, you cannot be just a wide receiver coach or just a running back coach. Now, an O-line coach could be an OC. A tight end coach could be an OC. A quarterback's coach could be an OC. But if you're just wide receiver or running back, No. Now, if you're a linebacker, corner, safety coach, then you could be a DC because you're in the run fit scheme. You're in all that stuff. Corner's a little bit more difficult, but safety's for sure. Like, there's a degree of difficulty for these 22 positions. Running back rookies could play. Defensive line rookies could play. That is a simple adjustment. That's not calculus. That's simple arithmetic. Be strong. Show up. Beat the guy in front of you. Stay in your gap. Like, come on, man. You ain't got to be a rocket scientist to do that stuff. And, you know, you got to love the videos of Alfred, you know, Collins and Michael Williams out there. Like, you just see the aesthetics of way they look amongst other NFL players. And you're just like, damn, that's a big old boy. That is a big monster man. Alfred Collins is just, that dude is terrifying. Terrifying just to look at. And he's standing next to Nick Bosa and, you know, all these other defensive linemen that have played in the NFL for a long time. But it's just like, whew, that is huge. So I want to talk more about the D-line right after this.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year. With over 40 events at road games, if you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And A lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right. Now, there is one of the things that I wanted to talk about with Alfred Collins, because it gets a little spicy whenever any type of contract stuff happens. Like, I get so many emails, this guy doesn't care about football. Fans get mad. You take it personal. And that's not a negative. Like, you love your team so much. And I say your team. You're the one that fund all the craziness and the salaries and whatever else. It's your team. Like, I'm not one of those gatekeep guys in any way, shape, or form. You be a fan of however the hell you want to be a fan. Like, whatever. This is your damn team. And I love it that people care that much. When anger enters into the equation, it's because there's passion behind it. Now, a lot of times that's misplaced. And I got a lot of the Alfred Collins is selfish and he's a loser and we ain't got room for that on this team. And I'm just like, dude, like the context of the NFL situation, you've got to be able to look at it and understand what the situation is in. And John Lynch was talking about Alfred Collins and he said, quote, Alfred was extremely motivated to get that deal done and get done in here early. Alfred Collins went against all of these second rounders and got that deal to get in because he did not want to miss time. Josh, thank you. Collins put the team first. He did. He could have got more money. He could have waited and got more money, but instead he crossed the picket line and got that thing done. And I love that John Lynch acknowledged that how motivated he was to get that deal done. Absolutely. Like, if you were one of those people that's like selfish, like you've got to pay flowers. You don't have to, but like logically you have to. This dude went across the picket line and got this deal done because the player wanted to get it done. The player didn't want to miss time. The player was motivated. Yeah, right there. Broke the cycle. Thank you, Howdy. And I just freaking love it, man. It makes me very, very happy that you get these guys that care. What does John Lynch say every single time he scouts anybody in free agency or, you know, the draft? We want guys that love football. We want guys that are football guys. Dude, Alfred Collins is that to a T. Dude could have transferred from Texas and got paid so much more money to be the guy. But, man, Texas is a freaking powerhouse when it comes to defensive linemen. He played behind 7 defensive tackles that have been drafted in the NFL. He had to wait his turn. Waited his turn, became a stud on a college football playoff team. It was like literally did it the right way. Like, and so like I bring all this up to say, you're going to be a fan of Alfred Collins. I'm biased. I'm a Longhorn fan. And I've watched this guy play, 64 out of 65 games in his career. And shows up at the biggest, like the dude is just a freaking monster. And I'm so freaking pumped. Dude is just huge. He's huge. And he plays that way. Ugh, monkey. He says, given how big and violent these younger guys are, may not make big plays all the time, but they'll wear down the O-line. Yeah, you look at Mikael Williams, huge. Alfred Collins, huge. CJ West, not really huge. That's not his style, but he plays violent, right? And so you're getting these guys. Man, yeah, I'm just pumped. Logan, I'm proud to have Collins on this team because he did what's best for the team. Yes, like validate that. And I wish more people would highlight, like, dude, this is a guy, a rookie, that put the team first. Oh, man, I just love it. Yeah, guys like JJ showed up and never demanded a trade first off. That was all whatever. I don't know who ran with that. But, man. Josh says, this defensive line has the potential to be really scary. Now, potential just means you haven't done it yet. I think that's old Herm Edwards quote. But it is there. You look at this defensive line compared to last year. You've gotten young. You've gotten big. That matters. Now, can you stay healthy? Can you do what you need to do? Eter Gross Mottos, come on, man. We got to get you out there. But the potential for this defensive line is great. And then you got the little sprinkling in, you know, Bryce Huff. You got all these big old monsters. Oh, we're going to bring in a speed bend type guy. Great first step type of guy. Oh, we're going to bring in Jordan Elliott, who's a slasher, going to cause some problems type of a guy. And yeah, like, man, you look at Evan Anderson. You look at Alfred Collins. You look at CJ West. That is a lot of just beef coming at you. Interior offensive, you know, interior offensive line's got to go against that play in. Then you add in a Chris Givens, a Jordan Elliott, a Bryce Huff. And it's just like, whew. I mean, it is the true, like, thunder and lightning running back approach where you've got that big bruiser running back and then you put in the little slasher once you're tired. That's exactly what the 49ers defensive line is doing. They're going to wear these people down with big, violent bodies and then put in small slashers to kind of clean up and pass finesse downs, right? Now, Nick Bosa is going to be out there doing his thing all the time. He's a true do-it-all defensive end that could do those things. And, man, I'm pumped, dude. I am just full freaking excited about what it could be. Now, there's going to be so many learning curves and bumps and players going through the wrong gap and not understanding, you know, shooting up field because they're young and hungry and whatever else instead of, like, anchoring and all. That's going to happen. But if they can grow into that's the thing that is scary. It's like, what can they be? Well, you got to be healthy, and you've got to progress. Everybody's out there working. And so that is tremendous. Oh, Mark, what's up, my brother? I love our defensive line, guys. Yes. Dad, appreciate this one. This is in my notes as well. John, any thoughts on Luter being first out on the field? Any chance he steps up? Well, Darrell Luter Jr. is first out on the field. And I think it was Brad, shout out to Fear the Beard. That dude is a stud, who I think had that clip. Darrell Luter Jr. has never been healthy to start a training camp in his entire career. He's missed, you know, this is third year. He's completely missed back-to-back training camps. So, like, this is his first training camp. And he's out there early. I love it. Now, you look at the body again. It fits just like Alfred Collins. You look at Darrell Luter Jr. standing next to all those cornerbacks. The dude is 2 inches taller, wider shoulders, longer arms, way more muscle on his body. Doesn't mean he's a better player, but you look at the potential and all those things. It's like, all right, you've got to have somebody that can win that cornerback three spot. You've got your first two locked down. Okay. Diamador Lenore, Renardo Green. Check, check. The NFL plays three corners 74% of the time. That's NFL average. Like, who's that third corner? Upton Stout, you drafted in the third round, and Kyle Shanahan gave him some flowers today, but not so fast, man. You got to trust a rookie nickel out there? It's possible, but I think the more likely thing is, why not go with somebody that's been in the room for 3 years, who just hasn't stayed healthy? Man, if Darrell Luter Jr. wins that number three job, you kick Diamador Lenore inside, what Shanahan said he doesn't want to do. He would prefer to keep Demo on the outside. He thinks it's just better long-term for a guy to play one spot. But, man, week one, you're playing Seattle. Week one. Yeah, Jackson Smith and Jigba, one of the better slot wide receivers in the NFL. You're going to put Upton Scout on JSN week one on the road? Man, you talk about, like, I'm not saying Upton Stout can't do that. I'm just saying I trust veterans. And where is Seattle weak? Well, Marquez Valdes-Scantling outside? Like, that's not my concern. So, I'm not too worried about their outside wide receivers so much. So, I'm just like, man, I would really like to be comfortable with a number three outside corner, kick Demo inside, especially early. But, you know, you'll have to see how that goes and personnel it. Right now, the 49ers aren't personneling, you know, the Seahawks or anything like that. You're just focusing your ones on their ones, your twos on their twos. Let's put in our initial package. It's installation. These are our core coverage concepts. But, man, in the back of my mind, if I'm Robert Saleh, do you want Upton Stout on their best offensive player week one on the road? I'm not saying he shouldn't get any snaps, but I'm like, I would feel so much better if somebody would win that outside number three job, whether it's Trey Brown, I want it to be Darrell Luter Jr. you know, Dallas Flowers. I don't know. Fill in the blank. I just feel like that's way safer. Way safer. Yeah. So, man, I'm just a little uneasy, especially whenever you're already relying on so many rookies on this defensive front. Really, the entire defense, like Shedd had said, we could have 8 rookies starting on defense. Like, that's a little much, but you could have a lot of young guys. I think he said 8 young players. I think he was counting freshman and sophomore type players, or rookie and sophomore type players. But like, you could have a very young defense, very young. We'll have to kind of see how that kind of goes out. Yeah, that's huge. A couple questions, 49ers. Trent's 37 years old. Trent isn't playing a full season. Who's the backup? Spencer Burford. Now, Andre Dillard, who's supposed to come off the PUP soon, is also played left tackle a lot in his career, former first-round pick. Not great in the run game, but very good at pass protection. Not very good, but pass protection specialist. The athleticism, that's what he brings. Austin Pleasance as well. Yeah, so those are your 4 to 5 tackles that, yeah, Pleasance is a monster, but they're keeping him on the right tackle. The 49ers don't do swing tackles. I really wish that they would. They have not done swing tackles. Like, you go back to, I think it was Jalen Moore, when you had both your tackles get injured and they put somebody in at right tackle. They're like, well, Jalen Moore's been practicing on the right side. They're like, no, actually, he's just practiced on the left this whole season. Like, the 49ers don't use swing tackles. I don't know why, but they do not. They have a backup left tackle and a backup right tackle. And then in case of emergency, they'll throw somebody in there. But they don't do swing tackles. I wish they did. It's smarter to do so. But, yeah, it's different. What's up, Applesauce? Man, it's great to see you. Glad to see, seen a lot of old names back, and for the crazies that were with us the whole offseason, I love you guys. Appreciate y'all. But to the old ones, I don't care how you got here or how long you got here. You're here. I appreciate you. What's up, David Waldner, my old teacher buddy, Cowboys friend. Appreciate you, man. If I was the Cowboys right now, I definitely don't talk. Will the 49ers be better than the Cowboys? The fact that we beat them the last 4 times we played them, which I've been at every single one of those, by the way, David. Yeah, I think the Cowboys have a much more difficult division. I wish we played each other. I wish we played the Cowboys every year. That NFC East, man, whew, I think that's a tough conversation. NFC West is not good. It's not good, which is sad whenever the 49ers went 1-5 in a not good division last year. That stuff better change. And yeah, the 49ers got an easy schedule this year. The easiest in the NFL. But it's still one team versus one team. You talk about easiest schedule, you still got to deliver. Remember, this is a 49ers team that lost twice to the Cardinals. Cardinals not a good team. I think they've drafted well, and I think they're poised to step up. But it's not like the 49ers were out there beating easy teams last year. You have to improve. You got to get better. And whether you're a Cowboys fan or a Cardinals fan, God forbid, I've never really met one, or a 49ers fan, you go to any games? Oh, come on. You know where you got to get your tickets. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. You know, talking injuries, yeah, the Arizona Cardinals, their first round pick, just talking Cardinals, Walter Nolan, who was a 49ers fan. I know Larry Kruger. I know Wayne Breezy. I know so many people. He just hurt his calf, and he's going to be out. He's going to miss a lot of time. Miss some time is the quote per Jonathan Gannon. But, like, this is what happens. That first week of training camp, you get a lot of these. And, man, calves and hamstrings are avoidable. They're avoidable. I'm sorry. That's just my own personal belief. More injuries are going to happen to the 49ers, but I'm telling you, if it's a freaking calf or if it's a hamstring, a lot of that's on the player. A lot of that's on the player. Yeah, so Walter Nolan, huge. He's out as well. That hurts. Now, a couple other things that, you know, I wanted to kind of talk about with Equanimeous St. Brown. I've been working on his pronunciation. Equanimeous, there we go. I've got it written out on here. Equanimeous St. Brown, the new 49ers wide receiver. They don't have anybody like him, really. 6'5", 214. He's a former six-round pick all the way back in 2018 to the Packers. I remember that year. They drafted three wide receivers. Anyway, it was a weird year. The Packers, one of those teams that does best player available, and it always shoots them in the foot, but whatever. 28 career starts, 68 games played, so he's a vet. Obviously, the brother of Amon-Ra St. Brown. 63 career receptions, 928 yards, two touchdowns. 11 rush attempts as well. He can do like a lot of little, you know, he's a tall. Him and Isaiah Nayer are going to look a lot alike. I think Nayer's probably a better athlete. But you do have a new wide receiver that is a vet. I do like that. And so I know a lot of people are like, oh, go get some rookies. No, we don't need more rookies. We need people that have played the position and know what to do at an NFL camp, can step in and hit the ground running. I misspoke there. What's up, man? Ghost. First time catching you live in a while. Appreciate you, man. Glad you're here. Fans not aware that Kittle has been known to miss games. He will miss games, but now you have much more depth. The signing of Luke Farrell was priority one in free agency. The 49ers basically skipped free agency, let all your guys go. You brought in a couple backups, but the one area that they did address, Luke Farrell, they paid this dude big time. And so you do have a quality number two. What is the quote? I don't want to miss this. I was going through quotes. Yeah, Chris Forster on Luke Farrell. Quote, I love him. He's one of the best run blocking tight ends I've seen in a long time, end quote. So nobody is a George Kittle. He's the best tight end in the NFL, and I would argue the second best all-around tight end in the history of the NFL. That's just my own whatever take. I'd go Gronk one, and I'd go Kittle two. Yeah, if you miss Kittle, your team's going to hurt. He's an all-pro. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. However, missing Kittle this year will hurt less than it did last year. Still going to hurt. But you're hoping that Kittle could stay healthy long enough for these wide receivers to figure out and to get back healthy. That would kind of offset that. Now, people want to always talk about, you know, George Kittle getting hurt and missing games, which he does. And so, like, you look at his career. Last year, he missed two games. 2023, missed one game. Missed two games in 2022. So he's missed five games in three seasons. You want to go back a year before that, he missed three games. Like, it's not like this dude's missed a lot of games. Yeah, he had that one injured season in 2020 where he played eight games. But 15 games his rookie year, 16 games sophomore year, 14 games. Like, this is the NFL, and the dude plays the most violent way possible all the time, which is what makes him special. You don't want him to change that. But you do have a little bit more depth at the tight end spot. I really, really wish that they would go get Noah Fant, who Seattle released. That would be a priority to me. Now, you got to wait for him to clear so that you can bring him in under a different contract and all that stuff and waivers, which would be on Tuesday the following week, I believe. I'm not sure when he got cut. But, like, I would be bringing him in. And I would release one of our tight ends, personally. But Niners don't seem to do that. They like what they have. Mark, we need a kicking competition update. Nobody missed a kick today. And Brant Boyer does it a little bit different than horrible Snyder, where Snyder would let one kicker kick and then give the other guy a day off that switch. He had them exchanging reps today. Nobody missed one. The kicking update. We'll see Greg Joseph versus Jake Moody. And we all want Greg Joseph to win. It don't matter. It's not a true competition, sadly, I don't think. The backup tight end is not a question mark at all. The backup tight end is Luke Farrell. That's now the tight end three is a question mark. Cal Chipto says Nolan equals Kinlaw. I don't want to go that far. And remember, Kinlaw, I think he's getting like, what, $17 million a year right now? Mason Plyne, I would like to win that tight end three job. That's who I'm hoping for. right here. Howdy, isn't Equanimeous considered one of the better blockers? Man, let me see if I can learn how to spell his name. Here we go. Equanimeous St. Brown. I'm looking him up on PFF because I do not know the answer to this question. The answer, not too bad. His last 2 years have been his worst 2 years run blocking. Last year, I had a 55 grade bad. 2023, 43 grade bad. 2022, 69.8 good. And then his rookie year at a 72 grade. So I don't know if he's considered great or good. He seems like he's pretty average, but he's huge. Dude, 6'5", 214 with 4.4 speed. I don't know if the numbers or metrics bear that out. So I can't really attest to that too much. Monkey says, I know hit rates on draft picks, they're low, but I have faith our beefed up coaching staff can offset things a little bit. You're going to have to. You need like a 60 to 70% hit rate on this year's draft with how you're relying on so many rookies, especially defensively. Yeah, so like you've got to hit. You've got to hit. I think that's huge. I see the Cowboys banter. I love that. Brindle in the fourth quarter. Yeah, Brindle, that one sucks. David Wallner is a great friend of mine. Great friend. He's a Cowboys friend, but that's okay. We always help those that need help. And just because people are less fortunate than us does not mean that we're no longer friends with them. I'm a friend with David Wallner and such a friend, and he's in such desperate need. I get to write it off on my taxes anytime I hang out with him. Love you, David. You're the best, brother. but yeah, y'all give him all the crap in the world. Do not hold back on Cowboys fans ever. Yeah, when was the last time they were in a championship game? Good Lord. Long time ago. So I'm pouring through my notes and just making sure, like, I really haven't missed anything. I'm sure there's more. I never cover everything. Overall, first day of practice in the pads, biggest negative, definitely Jacob Cowan getting injured. That is just absolutely awful. Best news, Juwan Jennings is out there practicing. Rotational news, Nick Sakel taking snaps with first team at left guard because Ben Barch is injured. Spencer Burford taking first team snaps at left tackle. Trent Williams not working team. Isaac Grindo taking first snaps at running back. CMC not doing team. And Darrell Luter Jr. is healthy. So lots of positives. I hate that I started off on such a negative, but it's, again, stacking injuries. That is a killer, man. That is a killer. I am flying out of town bright and early tomorrow, but I bring all my stuff with me on the road, so if any breaking news happens, I will be going live. But we still have our roster series going through the weekend and all that stuff. I'll be at training camp next week, which is going to be a lot of fun. So we've got a lot of stuff. I can't wait till we get more film. And as soon as those preseason games start happening, we're going to, you know, on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon, links in the description of the video. That's how I feed my family. And so if you want a play-by-play breakdown of every offensive, every defense, every special teams play throughout the preseason and every regular season, man, go sign up right now. You want to watch stuff last season? You want to watch rookie game tape? You want to watch free agent? You want to see how Bryce Huff applies to the 49ers? Go right now. As soon as you sign up, we have a 7-day free trial. Everything is available as soon as you sign up. Plus, we have our Zoom hangout next week. I don't have the date for that set. I got to talk with the wifey. But we have our hour-long Zoom session where we get together, and I get to hear from you. That's next week as well. So go sign up for your 7-day free trial. If you like it, stick around. Again, that's how I pay my bills. But, man, 49ers are back. We got practice, baby. We got injuries. But we got players that want to be a part of this team, and that's huge. Huge. Speaking of huge, Alfred Collins going to be a fan favorite. Mark it down. You guys are the best. And man, we're going to need this a lot. Injuries already. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.